awesome kids directors will be speaking at our next men's event. I'm pumped about that. That's going to be June 25th. June 25th, which is a Thursday night. We're going to do a Thursday night dinner. All right. And I think it's going to be great. Mitchell and Mike are going to be speaking. That is going to be an incredible night. So if you're a man, mark your calendars. June 25th, Thursday night. We're going to have dinner at 6 p.m. And then we're going to have the message at 7 o'clock. And we'll have a sign-up next week so you can sign up and pay for dinner. All right? Cool. It's just going to be bacon. That's all. Just kidding. She kind of sounds good. You ever had a really good bacon? Like real good bacon? Not like the flimsy, like the you know, when you cook bacon sometimes and there's nothing left? It's a travesty, isn't it? You're like, where'd it go? What happened? Don't worry. Bacon is, I had some really good bacon this year. I was in Branson, sorry, just bear with me. I was in Branson this last week. We were on vacation. It was wonderful. I had some really good bacon at this place called Billy Gale's. Have you ever been to Billy Gale's? Who has been to Billy Gale's in Branson? All right. Yeah, Mary knows what I'm talking about. Pancakes. Yeah, that's it. You think I'm kidding. And give it out. Rosie was in pancake heaven. All right. It was awesome. So if I go off on tangents on food today, don't worry about it. It's okay. It's because I ate a lot of good food. All right. Today's family church. So thanks, kids, for being in here. I think we should play a game. All right. You all okay with that? All right. Everybody, bear with me. Stand up with me. All right. For just a minute. How many of you know how to play rock, paper, scissors? Yeah, let's go. We did this last time we had family church, and so we're going to do a rock, paper, scissors tournament, okay? So everyone needs to find a partner, all right? So everybody find a partner. You can get out of your seats, find a partner, and everybody knows how rock, paper, scissors works, right? It's rock, paper, scissors, shoot, all right? And then when you do that on the shoot, you can either do rock, paper, scissors. If you need, who needs a... You can do three people if you need to. So if there's not two, you can do three people in a group. But everybody find somebody to do it. Are you guys ready? Okay, let's do the first one. Rock, paper, scissor, shoot. Okay, wow. All right. So a lot of people barely made it through that. So if you lost, sit down. All right. If you won... All right, good for you. If you need a redo, it's not best out of three. All right, I don't know. All right. Okay, so if you've lost, sit down. If you won, go find another partner. All right. If you've won, go find another partner. You tied? Okay, well, you gotta do it again. All right, everybody. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay. All right, if you lost, sit down. If you won... Go find, who do we got left here? It's getting intense here. Okay, good. All right. Yeah, you guys already got it. I don't even have to tell you. Okay, so who's went? Oh, it's Evie again. Evie's always at the end. Look at that. Okay, so it's Kiki, Evie, Mr. Ken, Pastor Deborah. Oh, are you still in, Pastor Deborah? All right, Pastor Deborah and Evie, you're in. Oh, okay, Kiki. Okay, good. Ezra still in? Paisley still in? No? No, you just do your own thing. Okay, Ezra, are you still in? Did Ezra just win? Okay, so Ezra and Mr. Ken, Mary and Keith and Christine. Okay, go then, you guys, all right? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. All right. Keith and Miss Christine. Okay, rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Yeah. Keep doing that, Keith, and you'll win. Trust me. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Yes. And you're, all right, Ezra, you and Keith. Ezra, you and Keith, you going to play? You got it? This is the finale. Are you ready? All right. Are you ready? All right, you guys ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay, one more time. You ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. All right, Ezra, that's all you, baby. Way to go. Give it up for Ezra. He is the winner. Great job. See me after service. I've got a prize for you. Everybody's like, I should have taken it more seriously. Yes, you should have. How dare you? Last time we did Reese's Eggs, and people were a little bit more serious about it, but there is a prize for you, bud, so see me after service, all right? If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew. It's the first book of the New Testament. Let's see. I'm trying to figure out where I want to start today, but let's start in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. We'll go there. If you're online, thanks for being with us today. And I'm sorry you missed the rock, paper, scissors duel, but come hang out with us in person and you can do some rock, paper, scissors. Are you there? Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 17. Let's skip up to verse 16, how about? This is the 11 disciples' great commission with Jesus. It says, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some of them doubted. Some of them doubted. Let's pray. Would you join with me? Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your Holy Spirit speaking to us, helping us grow, bringing things to light in our life, and we just honor you today. We honor your voice in our life. We thank you, God, that your presence brings freedom and liberty from the bonds of sin. We praise you for all you've done, all you're doing, and all you are going to do. We thank you, Father. If you agree with that, say amen today. Amen, amen. But some doubted. Have you ever read something in the scripture like, what? Anybody? No? Just me? You read scripture, you're like, what is going on? And this is one of those moments where I would like to think that I would be one of the disciples that worship God. You know? There's two sides here, right? There's the disciples that worshiped, and then there's another side that doubted that he was actually Jesus. Is that ever crazy to anybody? It's crazy to me. They're standing there face to face with Jesus, and still they doubt. That word doubt, it's used twice. We're going to look at the two times that it's used in the New Testament. And the Greek word, the original Greek word, it means, probably a better definition would be double-minded. Literally, two minds. And when I think about that, I don't know about you, but when I read that, it says, but some of them were of two minds. And when I hear that, to be honest, I can relate a little bit more. In my relationship with God, my walk with Jesus, pursuing him, there has definitely been moments in my life where I am of two minds, where part of me is, I believe in you, and the other part of me is like, I don't know. I don't know if it's real. And my faith lingers in those moments. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. This is the other time that this word doubted or of two minds is used. And a lot of us, I think, know this scripture. If you have been in church for a while, you've heard this scripture in Matthew. And we're going to specifically look at, let's look at verse 27 to start. But Jesus sends the disciples out on the boat after feeding the 5,000, an incredible miracle. He says, you go out there, I'm going to dismiss the people. And then I'll meet up with you. Sometimes I wonder what the disciples were thinking. They're like, he's like, go out on the water, I'll catch up with you. I wonder if they're like, how are you going to catch up with us? I don't know. Sometimes you read the Bible, you're like, what's really going on? The disciples got to be kind of like, they had one boat, and they're like, okay. You know? And Jesus, he goes and prays, and then a storm hits the lake, the sea, and Jesus walks on water out to the boat. Super casual about the whole thing. And the disciples see him from a distance, and they're like, oh my goodness, is that a ghost? He's like, it's me. And there's this moment that is so profound to me when Peter recognizes who it is and is of one mind. Because there is no way you're getting out of a boat in a storm to walk on water unless you are single-minded. Amen? That kind of faith is a single-minded faith. But then in a moment, we see it switch. So let's read it today. In verse 27, everybody's like, oh, it's a ghost. And Jesus spoke to them at once. Do not be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Single-minded faith right there. In verse 30, but when he saw the strong wind, the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you, and there it is, why did you doubt me? Jesus is saying, why did you have two minds? You had one mind that was all for me, but then you allowed this other mind to take control. And how about you, but I deal with that in my relationship with God. These moments where, if I could say maybe go back and forth in those moments. And I think a lot of our journey and our relationship with God, growing our faith looks more and more like becoming single-minded more of the time and less double-minded more of the time. When you give your life to Jesus, you're single-minded in that moment, right? When I gave my life to Jesus, I was single-minded. All I wanted was Jesus. And then the next day happened. And I had to serve God. And I had to turn away from my old ways. And it was very easy in those moments to have that battle. This is the battle that we see all the time. A battle versus our flesh and our spirit, right? Our flesh and our spirit, the world and the kingdom of God. And as Christians, we understand, how many of you know the right answers, right? I think a lot of us know the right answers. I believe, actually, that most of us have known the right answers for a long time. I would submit to you that most people, when they're born, if not everyone, innately understands many things, right and wrong, right? And so, looking at this double-mindedness, you know, how do we go from two minds to a single mind today? So let's go to Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says to me, one of the most profound moments in our dealing with double-mindedness. Because double-mindedness does not come when everything's really easy. It generally comes when things get challenging, right? Have you noticed that? Things get challenging, and we take our eyes off of God and our eyes on the storms of life, and it is in those moments that our double-mindedness starts. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, let's go there, verse 28, and this is Jesus speaking, And Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear. My burden is, I give you, is light. And I think it's important to recognize there's still a yoke. There's still a burden. Sometimes as Christians, we read, we have selective, do you ever do selective reading in the Bible? Is that just me? Selective reading? You know? But there's still a call on your life. Did you hear me today? Every person in this room, every kiddo, every adult, wherever you're at, you have a purpose and a call on your life. You have things that God has put inside of you that no one else has. Every person in this room has something specific to offer this world if you choose to. If you choose to. And so there'll still be a yoke, there'll still be a burden, but there's a promise here that the yoke is easy, that the burden that he gives is light. And have you ever seen an oxen yoke? There's two sides, okay? It's made for two oxen. And I think that's a beautiful picture that when you take on the yoke that God has given you, Jesus is right there helping you carry that. That's a beautiful, beautiful picture to me as we walk through life, as we pursue what God has called us to do, is this promise that if we choose to follow him, if we allow God to take on that yoke, to help us take on that yoke, beautiful things start to happen. Now, if Mitchell and I were to put a yoke on, all right, it would work pretty good, you know. Mitchell and I, we have some, you know, we root for some of the same basketball teams, okay? We like some of the same foods. But I'm pretty sure there'll be a point, you know, when like 8 o'clock at night comes, okay, and it's time to go home, we have some issues, okay? Because he's going to want to go home to his wife, and I'm going to want to go home to my wife. Wouldn't you agree, Mitchell? Yeah. It's not happening. All right. There's going to be a rub in that moment, all right? He can be like, hey, we're going to go this way. I'm like, bro, no, we're not, all right? It's going to be an issue, okay? And sometimes we treat Jesus that way. Jesus is like, hey, we're going to go this way. And we're like, well, I know you want to go that way, but hear me out. You ever try to negotiate with Jesus? You ever try to negotiate with the Holy Spirit? It's like, hey, I've got the best idea. It's awesome. And it never is as good as God's idea. Amen? And so you can do that if you want to, okay? You can fight that if you want to. But that is where a double-mindedness starts to happen in your life. Is when you start to think that you have a better idea than Jesus, when you start going the other way. And I think that a lot of our journey is ultimately learning how to link up with Jesus. Learning to link up with his call, with what he has for you in your life. And I find that life following Jesus generally is hard. It takes a lot of effort. It's a lot of work. But it is always the most fulfilling place to be in my life. I don't know about you, but I love hitting the pillow at the end of the night, looking at my day saying, I did a lot today. You ever like hitting the pillow and saying, wow, what a waste? Everybody's like, cool, great job, you know? You know what I did today? I watched a lot of TV. Boom, check it off the list. No, you want to hit the pillow saying, man, I did something today. I accomplished something today. I moved a little bit closer to the things that God has called me to do. And so I want to remind you today that as we kind of look at this idea of these two minds, I want to remind you that the call that God has put on your life will require work. It'll require effort. It'll be filled with some challenges. But it will also be filled with fulfillment. It'll be filled with joy that no person can take away. It's the joy of the Lord, knowing that I am in His plan. I'm doing the things God has called me to do. There's great joy in that. Nobody can ever take that away from you unless you let them. And so, I'm going to move. Oh, yes, great. Matthew chapter 16. Go there real quick. Matthew chapter 16. We'll go to verse 24. And this is Jesus speaking. Verse 24, Matthew chapter 16. If any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And that just sums up what we were just talking about, right? In a beautiful way. And I love how the New Living says that you try to hang on to your life. And a lot of times in our world, we try to hang on to our old life. We try to hang on to certain things that are comfortable. Anybody? Just try to hang on to that comfort zone. But in our relationship with God, we have to learn to let go of our own life and submit it to Him. To take on that yoke that He has prepared for us. Amen? All right, let's go over to John. Everybody still with me? John chapter 21. And I'm not going to take a real lot longer. I know we got kiddos in the room. But John chapter 21, verse 7. And I love this last little piece that we get of Peter and John, because we read about Peter jumping out of the boat. Peter was kind of a crazy dude, okay? He jumps out of a boat, walks on water, freaks out, starts to drown. Jesus saves him. And then for the record, they walk back to the boat together, okay? Which means that Peter was walking on water again. Okay. And there's this other part a lot of us maybe remember in the Bible about Peter. Jesus is like, you're going to deny me 3 times? And Peter's like, no way. There's no way that's ever going to happen. How dare you? Peter gets like mad about it. And then hours later, he denies Jesus 3 times. You can read about that. I would encourage you to. Google it. Peter denial. You can search it on AI. It'll come up. Don't worry. And Peter denies that he ever knew Jesus in that moment. And right when the rooster crows, Peter remembers instantly what Jesus said. And isn't that like double-mindedness? Isn't that like two-minded? Because hours earlier, he was told he was going to deny Jesus. And he's like, there is no way that's going to ever happen. And how does Peter get so far off? Because of the circumstances. Right? Roman guard comes, takes Jesus before Pilate. Jesus is getting whipped. And Peter's like, did I miss it? What's going on? What's happening? He starts to look at his circumstances, his situations, the mountain in front of him. And then all of a sudden he slips into and he denies Jesus 3 times. It says that when he realizes it, he runs away and wept bitterly. So fast forward, John chapter 21. Let's go to verse 4. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. And he called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. And it's so interesting to me because Peter and some of the other disciples, they just go back to their way of life. Like, I don't know what else to do except fish. That's all I know. They knew a lot more. But that's what was comfortable. And then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some." And it's beautiful how this happens because this is when Jesus calls the disciples, same moment, right? He says, "Hey, throw your net on the other side." They pull in this huge haul. They're like, "This has got to be Jesus." And Jesus says, "Hey, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." And so it goes on in verse 6. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." So John's like, "It's the Lord." And I love this response. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. And we don't really know what happens between Peter getting to shore and the disciples getting to shore. But I'm pretty sure it was awesome. I don't know what was said. I don't know what happened. But I'm pretty sure it was beautiful. Because from then on, Peter is a different dude. Peter is a completely different dude. And you can read about it in Acts. I would encourage you to. But we see Peter start to tackle things with a single-minded faith in the power of God after that, over and over again. And Peter is never perfect, but we see something shift and change. And isn't that like us? You go through life and you have moments of double-mindedness. And the devil will want to hold you down in those moments. He'll say, "Look at you. You don't have any faith. You've got nothing. Like, how dare you doubt it? There's no way that God could use you after you doubted him in that moment. That should have been easy." Do you ever doubted God in a moment and you look back, you're like, "That should have been easy." That should have been the easiest moment of having faith, and yet I walked away. Like, the random person in my family I don't even liked called me out on being a Christian, and I was just like, "Yeah, it's pretty dumb." Seriously, that person? I couldn't stand up to that person? And the devil will play mind games on you all day. And I just want to remind you today, those things happen. But you don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay that way. And so, is this like the simplest message ever? Absolutely it is. Okay? My call and my challenge to us today is, let's go from a double-mindedness to a single-mindedness. Let's work towards that day in and day out. And for all of us in the room, it is not going to just happen in a blink of an eye, okay? Meaning this, that when challenges come, when tough stuff comes in your life, it's important to recognize that it's hard, that these are the storms, and to begin to make choices. And I think I find one of the best way in those moments to be able to make that choice is to dig the wells before, right? And what do I mean by that? I simply mean my relationship with God in the good is just as important as in the challenges. Getting in my word, you know, coming to church, fellowshipping, worshiping, praying, all of those things are important because it cues into those moments, those challenges. You know, if I have a lot of the word in my life, when life squeezes me, you know, this is what's going to come out. If I have a lot of negativity in my life that I'm allowing in, a lot of lies in my life, when life squeezes me, guess what's going to come out? Those lies and that negativity. And so I encourage you today to take an audit of your life and to look at your life and say, hey, where are some things, what are some things going on in my life that I'm allowing that need to change? And these are things that we talk about, you know, fairly often at this church. But I would encourage you to take it a step deeper, a level deeper in your life and say, hey, what are some things that I truly need to change? And ask the Holy Spirit how to change them. That's kind of a key part, asking the Holy Spirit how to change them. Because you've gotten, you know, if you're struggling with double-mindedness, I just want to remind you, you get that way because you rely on yourself. You get double-minded relying on your own wisdom instead of relying on the wisdom of God. And so if you're going to say, I want to start to be single-minded in my focus on Jesus, I want my faith to be a faith that can move mountains, you're going to have to start doing some things that look a little different. I don't know about you, but I am not afraid of work, right? Anybody ever, I don't think there's a lot of people in here that are afraid of work. You know what I am afraid of doing? Doing work that isn't going anywhere. You ever done work for a really long time, and then you're like, wow, you get done with it, and you're like, that actually did not achieve what I wanted it to achieve. Anybody ever been there before? That's frustrating. So I would encourage you today, take an audit of your life, but then allow the Holy Spirit to help shape the way that you're going to change it. And just like anything in life, take it a step at a time and do it. I can't do that. Tomorrow, I am not going to be at your front door at 9 o'clock in the morning, knocking on your door and say, hey, did you do that thing? I know, Howard, I know. I'm not going to do that. But you know who will be there at 9 o'clock in the morning tomorrow if you want him to be? The Holy Spirit. It's your choice. And I know, again, this is like the simplest message ever. But sometimes it's the most simplest things that help bring us back to focus and to center and say, hey, let's just get back to the basics today. And so if you find yourself throughout the week or throughout the month feeling like, man, I've just been really double-minded, I just want to remind you today, you can change that. If you think today, man, I'm just a double-minded person, you can change today. Amen? If you feel like it's impossible, I'm going to tell you right now, that's a complete lie from the enemy. If you think it's impossible, it's a complete lie from the enemy. See, your feelings, they will betray you, okay? And your own fleshly wisdom will betray you. The only thing that will never betray you is the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the one that created you, that knit you together before you were ever in your mother's womb. Amen? Amen. Let's just pray today. Just take a moment. Just bow your head. Close your eyes with me. Just for a moment in this place. Because I do just want to speak to anybody in this place that said, I have felt, that has felt guilt and shame because of that doubt, that double-mindedness that's been happening. And if you've been dealing with shame and guilt, if it's been overwhelming you today, I really believe that the Holy Spirit is going to just release that today in your life. And so if that's you today, I'm not going to ask you to come down front. You can come down front if you want. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or stand up. I am just going to tell you what I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do, and that is just completely release that shame and that guilt. See, we talked about what Jesus spoke in Matthew, that His yoke is easy, His burden is light. And the devil's yoke, it is not easy, it is not light. It is bondage. And Jesus came to set you free from that. And I just want to remind you of that today. To allow the Holy Spirit to bring peace over your life right now. Over your spirit right now. Allow Him, allow His forgiveness to take control. And if you're in the room and you don't know Jesus, maybe you've never met Jesus, maybe you don't even know, you're like, what does that mean? The simplest way I define that is making Jesus the number one thing in your life. That's salvation. It's making Him the number one thing in your life. It's recognizing Him as your King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords, as the one that is the Savior of your soul. And if you want to make that decision today, just lift up your hand and say, that's me today. Is there anybody in the room today? All right, I don't see any in this room, but I cannot see online. So we are going to say this prayer. If you're online and you raise your hand, we're just going to say this prayer together. If you didn't raise your hand, you didn't lose your chance, okay? Because when you say these words, the words from your heart, if you truly mean it, when you call on the name of Jesus, you will be saved. You will be saved. So say this prayer with me if you're a believer, just to encourage the people around you. Say, dear Jesus, I need you. I recognize that you are my Savior. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to die for me on a cross that I deserved. Please forgive me. Forgive me of my sins, my mistakes. Help me do what you've called me to do. I thank you that your yoke is easy, that your burden is light, that you've called me to great things, that you'll help me, that you'll lead me, that you'll guide me. I thank you that today I'm changed forever. If you agree with that, say amen today. Amen, amen. We would love to hear about, if you did make that prayer for the first time, if you're online, we'd love to hear about it as well. We'd love to get you some next steps of what that looks like. And today, as you leave this place, it's easy instantly when you leave this place and you walk out that door to forget everything that was just said. But don't. Take an audit of your life. Take it seriously. Allow the Holy Spirit to do what only the Holy Spirit can do in your life. Just think about what your the next week, just the next week, just think about what the next week could look like if you did that. Just think about the people that you come into contact with every week, how their life might be completely changed if you chose to do that today. Amen. Amen. We love you. We will see you next Sunday. Wednesday night service will be happening. Have a wonderful week. If you need prayer for healing or anything else, we'd love to pray with you. Come on down front. Have a great day.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.